From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Choice Men. The text is Isaiah 48 and verse 10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. This has long been the motto fixed before our eye upon the wall of our bedroom, and in many ways it has also been written on our heart. It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. Better to be the elect of God than the elect of a whole nation. So eminent is this privilege that whatever drawback may be joined to it, we very joyfully accept it, even as the Jew ate the bitter herbs for the sake of the Paschal Lamb. We choose the furnace, since God chooses us in it. We are chosen as an afflicted people, and not as a prosperous people. Chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. And yet here eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. So has it been in our case. In times of severest trial, God has made to us our calling and election plain, and we have made it sure. Then have we chosen the Lord to be our God, and He has shown that we are assuredly His chosen. Therefore, if today the furnace be heated seven times hotter, we will not dread it, for the glorious Son of God will walk with us amid the glowing coals.
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price, when upon the cross He made the sacrifice. Hear His words of triumph sounding from the tree. Hear His shout sounding of victory. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. Through God's own Son. It is finished. Glory, hallelujah. It is finished. The victory is
sins of scarlet, they shall be as snow. For the blood of Christ is stronger than the foe. He has won the battle, let us all rejoice. Praise His name, tell His fame, hear His voice. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son.
Jesus Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to His cross and worship at His feet. Listen to His shout resounding far and near. Still it's heard, trust His word, never fear.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message entitled, The Extent and Efficacy of the Gospel. The text is found in chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, with the words, But now, in verse 21, Paul began to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. This is the good news of the gospel. Those who believe in Christ are declared righteous in God's sight. This is at the heart of the doctrine of justification by faith, the gospel which Paul preached all over the then known world. Furthermore, this righteousness is applied equally to all who believe the gospel. There are no exceptions. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, The Extent and Efficacy of the Gospel.
When you go to the Wartburg in Germany, see the room in which Luther did his translation of the German Bible, was held a prisoner. You'll see the desk at which he sat. And you'll hear the story that this is where Luther was sitting when the devil came, reminding him of all his sin. And Luther took his ink pot and threw it at the old serpent and said, "Bring them all and millions more. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." He was justified and he knew it. He was declared righteous and he knew it. For this is a verdict upon all believers. And understand this, this is a verdict equally upon all believers. This is where justification differs from sanctification. Sanctification is at different stages of advancement in different believers. We are not all equally holy. We are not all equally mature. We are not all equally wise. We all know that. But you see, justification is our legal standing before God. And it does not depend on our wisdom or our works. It does not depend on the level of our maturity or sanctification. It depends on the fullness and perfection of the merit of Jesus Christ. Can you improve upon perfection? He is made unto us righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, as we sang last Sabbath evening. The Lord, our righteousness. If Christ is my righteousness, I have a perfect righteousness. Can't be bettered. And that's equally true for all believers. I want you to see what Paul is saying here. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ never fails to receive the gift of saving righteousness. Now understand that. You come to Jesus as you are, weary, worn, and sad. You come to Christ with all the burden of your guilt. You come with all your history. In due time, certainly by next Sabbath evening, we'll have to get to the wonderful words of verses 25 and 26. The remission of sins, dealing with the things that are past. You come with all of your past. You come with all of your history. You come with all of the things of which you're totally ashamed. You come with everything that would make you blush. You come with all that could condemn you to hell. And what happens? By faith in Jesus Christ, instantaneously, irreversibly, eternally justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. God is satisfied. The law is silenced toward you except to cry for your entrance into heaven. And all the covenant blessings of grace are vouchsafed to you. Faith never fails to receive the gift of Christ's righteousness. It is upon all them that believe. It is actually imputed. It is actually placed to the account of every single believer in Jesus Christ. Now that brings us full circle. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? This is the big question. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Don't let anything take the place of this. Don't fool yourself that there's any alternative. We read of the publican. The Lord Jesus told us that he went into the temple and he smote upon his breast, couldn't lift his eyes to heaven, I want you to see there's no easy believism here. This is real conversion. He's convicted of his sin. He feels he's guilty and worthy of hell. He is humbled under the mighty hand of God. He cannot even lift his gaze heavenward. But from the depths of humiliation and shame, he cries, God, be merciful. God, be propitious. God, deal with me on the ground of the propitiatory sacrifice. Something of which Paul goes on to speak in the 25th verse of this passage. Lord, deal with me on that ground. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified. Justified. Clothed in the garments of the righteous merits of Christ. I wonder tonight, have you ever personally experienced the liberating power of this gospel? Have you ever come as a believer in Jesus Christ to receive freedom from sin's guilt, that you're not struggling to impress God with what you do or how well you do it? You're no longer struggling to make an impression upon God by your paying or by your praying, but you're cast entirely upon the finished work, the complete merits of Jesus Christ to free you from the guilt of sin, to make you acceptable to God and to assure you of eternal glory. When the Philippian jailer stood on the edge of eternal hell, on the edge of a suicide's grave, Paul intervened and, trembling, that big sinner cried, what must I do to be saved? The answer is startling in its simplicity and in its directness. He did not get a course in Reformed theology. He did not get, as I think we have, and I hate to be critical here, but I think we have inherited, sadly, from the excesses of some of the Puritans. He did not get a deep psychological evaluation as to how deeply he was humiliated, how well he was prepared. Nor was a trembling soul crying, what must I do to be saved? He got the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because faith always receives justifying righteousness. Isn't that what we read in John chapter 1? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even to the believing ones upon his name. The question tonight is not whether you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian. The question is whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Not a believer about him, but a believer in him. There's a world of difference. I've told you before, and it comes to mind as I think of the almost suicidal, depressive person from Michigan who threw himself over Niagara Falls a couple of weeks back, somehow lived to tell the tale. When a great circus actor, really, a great tightrope walker, was going across the falls, he did so in the sight of a great crowd. The rope swayed and he went straight across anyway. Turned to the crowd and said, "Do you believe I could carry you across that rope?" "Oh yeah, you could." "Well, jump on." "I don't think so. I don't think so." And then he took his manager and he put him on his back and he carried him right across the falls. The first man said he believed. He believed about him. But he certainly didn't believe in him. The illustration, like most illustrations, falls down because, you see, there is no possibility of Christ failing. Every tightrope walker has his falls. Jesus Christ never fails. There are still people who know all about him, but they don't know him. You're living in sin. You don't know him. Fooled by the devil, perhaps, into thinking if you knew Christ, you somehow would lose out on life. Man, how good a deceiver is the devil. You have people drinking poison, they're thinking it's the water of life. Living a life of miserable rejection and rebellion against God, a heartbeat from hell, and they say, "Man, this is living." Tonight, the question is, are you a believer? And if you're not, why not? Why not? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For this righteousness of God is revealed to all, including you. And it actually is given without fail to every single believer in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Lord, after the faltering voice of man is silent, speak on with the voice of the Spirit of God. Oh, we thank thee for justifying righteousness. We thank thee for the free grace of God that imputes the righteousness of Christ to every believer and thereby places in his hand the title deed to eternal glory. Lord, in Adam all die. In Adam, surely, all of us fall short of the glory of God. But thank God, in Christ, we do not fall short of the glory of God. In Christ, we are assured of eternal life. In Christ, we have a perfect righteousness. Lord, save the lost tonight. Lord, give assurance to every believer. Give us a clear sight of Christ. God grant that we will, as we were singing this morning, be able to address our own souls with the words of faith. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in thy behalf appears. Lord, answer prayer tonight and give fruit for the preaching of thy holy word. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people. And to thee, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we will give the praise and the honor and all the glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.